are Locked On Giants, your daily San Francisco Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Caspick, and on this show we provide daily episodes, Monday through Friday, approximately 22 to 30 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple, passionate, and accessible to all. This episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the app and join me later this week and every week to get in on the action. Locker Room, changing the way we talk about sports. All right, so as promised, coming up on today's show, we're going to do a mailbag. We had a lot of great questions from last week. I only got to a few of them in typical fashion. So today, I'm going to try to get to a lot more. Briefly, just a little bit about me. I'm a former contributor for the baseball statistics and analysis websites Beyond the Box Score and Rotographs. I've been podcasting about the Giants since 2015, and I'm a lifelong fan. So jumping right in, Cobert Gobert asks, I know we think Farhan Zaidi is a brilliant president of baseball operations here on this podcast, but surely there's a move he did that you didn't like as much, or a move that you thought should have happened that did not, a free agent signing, etc. What would you say is one criticism that you have of Farhan as of right now? That's a really good question because I realize I'm so often complimentary of the moves the Giants make, and I know a lot of you are aware of that also. But there was definitely a couple of things that I would say weren't my favorite moves, and specifically they were before the 2019 and the 2020 season, the signings of like these veteran players to fill roles and holes, like Gerardo Parra and Yanhervis Solarte, for example, before the 2019 season. A lot of attention goes to Connor Joe and Michael Reed for being in that opening day lineup and really struggling and then not sticking with the team at all. But I have no problem with those moves because those guys were potential future pieces. Like, the reason they ended up on the Giants roster is because they had to be on somebody's 40-man roster, and the Giants were opportunistic about acquiring them just before the season started. So they were players to give an opportunity to that you hope, if they perform, they can stick around. You know, they have years and years of club control. So it's a risk worth taking for a team that was in the Giants' situation. But Solarte and Parra, I mean, I get it. It just wasn't my favorite. They weren't my favorite moves, and they didn't work out. So a criticism is neither of those players was any good. And then coming into 2020, Pablo Sandoval and Hunter Pence. I'm pretty sure at the time I defended the moves as reasonable, and they were, because Pence was coming off this monster season in Texas, revamped his swing and had a ton of success, and then Sandoval was good for the Giants in 2019. So both of the moves were understandable, but at the same time, it's just uninspiring in a lot of ways. Like, these guys are not needle movers at all. They could have been nice complementary players, but they weren't. So I actually don't have a problem with the way that they've handled the trade deadlines, the way that they held on to Bumgarner and Will Smith. Maybe they should have traded Will Smith. I think he actually could have had brought in a better return than Madison Bumgarner. But they were in contention, so you have to, you know, give them credit for having conviction in letting this team try to compete. I think people would have been a lot more critical if they sold off when they were in contention and ended up fading down the stretch. So just to wrap it up, they've had so much success in trades too, so it's really hard to be critical of any kind of trades they've made. Mike Yastrzemski was a trade. Alex Dickerson was a trade. Kevin Pillar was a trade. Mauricio Dubon was a trade. And in, like, none of these cases did they give up anyone of consequence. So I'm like, turning this question around. I should stop right now. But those are, like, mild criticisms, but that's the best I can come up with. Red asks, your odds for the team going over 500. Well, a lot of you know that I'm pegging the Giants at 86 and 76. I do just want to point out that I think that's like an optimistic outlook. And a lot of you are probably rolling your eyes and saying, yeah, no, duh. But when I say optimistic, I don't mean unrealistic. I think it's the realistic possibility that not a lot of people see as realistic, but to me kind of is. I said just the other day when I was recording a bold prediction video, which should be available in some places soon, I just pointed out in that video that the Giants are quietly 81 and 81 over their last 162. So the idea that they could improve upon that a little bit is not that crazy. So anyway, I'm going to peg their odds of going above 500 at 50%. I think I could definitely see it happening, but it's definitely possible that it doesn't happen. So I know that's kind of a boring answer, maybe, but 50% odds of going over 500. Coming up next, we're going to talk about what I think of the strength of the Giants' schedule. This is a really interesting question to me. I've looked at the schedule a ton, and I have a lot of thoughts. One reason to repair and maintain your cars is to save money that you can then use on more important things like the mortgage or food. So why would you choose to spend 30, 50, or even 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or new car dealership? Random example, a fuel pump assembly for a 2005 to 2010 Honda Odyssey costs $353.99 at Advance, a big chain store, and just $216.79 at rockauto.com. Rockauto.com is for everybody and doesn't require membership or even account logins. Best of all, they're a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. All right, before we jump into a question about the strength of the Giants' schedule, I just need you to know that you can get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get podcasts. All right, jumping back into the questions, Alex asks, what do you think about the strength of the Giants' schedule this year, besides having to play LA and San Diego a lot? Are there stretches that stand out as particularly unlucky slash brutal or, quote, must-win months? Well, I'm glad you asked because I have studied the schedule a lot and I do have a lot of thoughts on this. I think that April is a month that is softer and that the Giants need to take advantage of the schedule. But on the whole, I do have one big conclusion about this year's schedule. It's really tough. It's a tough schedule. Every year it's different, and I have different thoughts about it. This year it's difficult. April is a month where they need to get ahead. Like, if you just have a bad record in April, it is not going to get any easier after that. In April, the Giants play the Mariners, the Rockies, the Reds, the Marlins, the Phillies, the Marlins, the Rockies. So there's some last place teams mixed in there. The Rockies, the Marlins really overperformed last year, so I would expect them to come back down to earth. Mariners are a team you can beat. So the Giants need to get off to a good start in April. I really think that first series is a must win. I know I'm being super dramatic, but really, I think there's more importance than usual on this very first series of the year. It's going to set the tone for the month, and it's a month they got to do well in. May includes a lot of travel. They go to San Diego, Colorado, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Arizona, and LA all in the month of May with only 8 home games and 19 road games. Jeez, 8 home games, 19 road games. June includes this crazy 2-game road trip followed by a 3-game homestand. That doesn't make any sense, and that's tough. July includes the All-Star break, but also a 4-game road series in LA and a trip to St. Louis also. Plus, they play the Dodgers at home and the Astros at home. The Pirates are mixed in there for a 3-game series. August, I would say, includes maybe one of the softer patches when they have this really long kind of homestand. They've got an off day followed by a 9-game homestand, followed by an off day, followed by 3 games at Oakland, which is really kind of a basically a home series also. They get to stay at home, followed by another off day. So it's literally 2 straight weeks that they'll be staying at home. So that's a good stretch. But then right after that, they've got to go to New York to play the Mets and Atlanta to play the Braves. So a couple of long flights there. Their last road trip of the year is also tough, going to San Diego and Colorado. It's just never easy to play in Colorado, even when the Rockies are bad. So relatively difficult this year is what I'll say. Important to get off to a good start in April. Some tough months. The second month is brutal with all those road games. Yeah, you heard everything I said. Those are my thoughts on the schedule. After Hours Dave asks, who are we moving at the trade deadline? And then Sean asks, are any of the vets on expiring contracts candidates for trades to contenders near the deadline? So people want to know about trades. That is a recurring theme in these mailbags. And it's going to depend. Like we said in the question about Zaidi and his moves, we've had a couple of trade deadlines under Farhan Zaidi, so we've learned a little bit about his tendencies. And the tendency is not to sell players if the Giants are in contention. Although they did do in 2019 a good mix of buying and selling. As I mentioned, they acquired Mauricio Dubon at that 2019 deadline. They gave up Drew Pomeranz, who had not really pitched well for the Giants that year, and they get Dubon out of that deal. They did not, however, trade Madison Bumgarner or Will Smith, two of the better players potentially available at that deadline. And then last year, they could have traded Kevin Gausman or Drew Smyly or anyone else, really, and they basically did nothing. I actually think, yeah, they did nothing. They made a tiny little trade acquiring Daniel Robertson, I think. So it is unlikely, when you say any of the vets on expiring contracts, I assume you're thinking about Posey, Belt, Crawford, Cueto, those types of players. The chances of any of them being traded, I think, are slim to none. Brandon Belt might be the only one, maybe Cueto, but especially with Cueto, they would have to pay pretty much the entire thing. So there's very little reason to make that deal unless you're getting a quality player back, which is doubtful. Belt could probably bring about the best return, maybe Posey, but Posey has a full no trade clause, and I'm sure he does not want to be traded. Belt has a limited no trade clause. I just don't think it's likely any of those guys get dealt. And I have to say, if they're in contention, they're definitely not being dealt. But players who could be traded include Kevin Gausman. Like, if he's just having a dominant season, but the Giants are not playing well and are out of the race, then they probably should trade him and probably would in that circumstance. So they're going to make the move that they think is the right move to make. So if you're out of contention and you've got a player on an expiring contract who's playing great and has a high demand and is in high demand, there's really no reason to not make that move. And basically the rest of the pitching staff is the same story because they're all on expiring contracts, like 1 through 5, unless you're counting Logan Webb. But Gausman, DeSclafani, Alex Wood, Aaron Sanchez, Johnny Cueto, all of their contracts are up after the season. So any of those guys are candidates to be dealt. And in the bullpen, you know, those guys are candidates to be dealt also. Giants' old front office often handed out these no trade clauses, which certainly makes things more challenging if you're trying to trade players at the deadline. But this new front office has not given out a single no trade clause. And so anybody's on the table. Like, they could deal Jake McGee or Matt Whistler or, you know, Jose Alvarez. All of these guys could be available. I think it's way more likely that an arm would be dealt as opposed to anyone on the offensive side. All right, coming up next, we're going to get to some more questions, including one about LA and San Diego's biggest weaknesses and if the Giants might have the ability to exploit some of those weaknesses. But first, I want to tell you about betonline.ag. It's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing, and baseball is just over a week away. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. They've got real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best place to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Lots of baseball action you can get in on at BetOnline. We'll be talking about it a lot as the season goes on. I feel like there's some opportunities there, so go and check out what they've got to offer. Head to their website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit with the promo code LOCKEDON. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. We've been telling you about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market for a while now. Built Bar is the amazing low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, amazing tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on all bars. Now's the time to find out which Built Bar is the best. How are we going to do that? Well, it's Built Bar Madness. Today's matchup is coconut brownie chunk versus lemon almond cheesecake. You guys know how I feel about coconut. Some of you have even given me a hard time about how I feel about coconut. So you know how I'm voting. How are you voting? Let me know. And be sure to go to BuiltBar.com or follow them on Twitter to vote on today's matchup. Remember to use the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order. That's LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com, and check back to see who won today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar. All right, before we get into this last round of questions, just a reminder that beginning this Wednesday, the Locked On MLB podcast is featuring one of our biggest events of the year, the Locked On MLB Division Preview Series. All of our local experts, myself included, in every MLB market, answer the biggest questions around each team. Follow Locked On MLB on the radio.com app or wherever you get podcasts. Alex asks, what would you say are LA and San Diego's biggest weaknesses, and do any of the Giants' offseason acquisitions stand out as particularly good fits to match up against slash exploit them? And unfortunately, this is a tough question to answer because it is hard to find a weakness with either of these teams. Many in the baseball industry, myself included, consider the possibility that these two teams in the NL West could be the best two teams in all of baseball. I think there's no doubt the Dodgers are the best team, and the Padres could be number two. They really got that much better in the offseason. They still have to prove it to me. Like, their last full season, they were 20 games under 500, but I do think, looking at what they did last year and then the talent they brought in, that they're easily a 90-plus win team, probably 95-plus wins. So just looking them over, it's tough to find a weakness. Like, I'm looking through their projected lineup. They've got a good mix of lefties and righties. The Padres, that is. They've got Trent Grisham, Eric Hosmer, and Jake Cronenworth on the left side with some switch hitters, too, like Jurickson and Profar. And then on the right side, of course, they've got Tatis, Machado, Pham, and Myers, plus Ha-Sung Kim, the Korean star that they brought in this year. So lefty or righty, it's going to be tough to face that lineup. And then their starting pitching features Yu Darvish, Blake Snell, Joe Musgrove, Chris Paddock. And then in the bullpen, they've got Pomeranz, Emilio Pagan. They brought in Mark Melancon. Maybe the bullpen has some weak spots, but that's me like really digging for something. The catcher position might be weak right now for the Padres because Austin Nola is injured, and so Victor Caratini slides into that catcher spot, and that's a little bit of a weakness, but it's hard to exploit that. I mean, you're just going to pitch to that spot in the lineup. Having Blake Snell hit is going to be a weakness because he's spent his whole career in the American League. So when he's on the mound, he's going to be a probably really easy out at the plate. But it'll be fun getting to face Mark Melancon a lot. I think there's opportunity there for the Giants to pounce on him. And that would be really fun and a little bit of revenge for that bad contract. And the Giants are going to have to take advantage of, I don't know, Chris Paddock, who has had a tendency to give up too many home runs. And the Giants have become a good offensive team. Tommy La Stella is an offseason addition who could make an impact against the righties in the Padres rotation. And they're pretty right-handed in their bullpen, too. Only a couple of lefties projected to go in there. So, I mean, that could be a weakness if they've got a righty starter on the mound. They've got mostly righties coming in out of the pen. So the Giants could stack up a bunch of lefties and potentially do some damage with that pretty good lineup that they have. The Dodgers, I mean, come on, it's like the same story, but even worse. They've got a great balance of lefties and righties. I mean, the lefties they have are three of the most dangerous lefties in the game. Seager, Muncy, Cody Bellinger. Bellinger's projected to hit sixth in this lineup, according to Roster Resource. That obviously could change, but that just speaks to the depth that they have. And then from the right side, they've got Mookie freaking Betts, Justin Turner, Will Smith, who's emerged as maybe the best offensive catcher in the game. Oh, and they've got AJ Pollock, who used to kill the Giants, batting seventh in this projected lineup. Gavin Lux, who's no longer quote-unquote a prospect because he's not a rookie anymore. But when he was a prospect, he was considered by many to be the number one prospect in the game, or at least top two or three. And he's projected here to hit eighth in this Dodgers lineup. So no, it is impossible for me to look at this lineup and say they have a weakness. I guess their bench has gotten a little bit worse. Kike Hernandez is no longer there. You know, the bench at Roster Resource is projecting is Austin Barnes, Matt Beatty, Edwin Rios, and Chris Taylor. There's some opportunity there. It's not maybe as good as it's been in the past. But then you look at the rotation, Kershaw, Bauer, Buehler, Urias, and David Price. A lot of lefties, I guess maybe the Giants have a chance. They can exploit matchups. Like, they're no longer going to be overwhelmed by, you know, if they throw out a left-handed pitcher, it's like, oh, too bad. Brandon Crawford's in there. Denard Span's in there. Brandon Belt is in there. Joe Panic is in there. And it's like, okay, well, we're not going to score any runs today because you've got Clayton Kershaw on the mound and you've got all these lefties in the lineup. So instead, the Giants can throw out Austin Slater, Darren Ruff, Wilmer Flores, Donovan Solano, Evan Longoria, Buster Posey, Mauricio Dubon, throw in Mike Yastrzemski, the one lefty out of that bunch. But they can stack up. So, you know, I wouldn't call it an off-season acquisition per se, but they've slowly built this roster into one that can totally line up against lefties and line up against righties. And I guess looking at the Dodgers' bullpen, they're also really right-handed. So the same thing I said about the Padres could apply here to the Dodgers. Anyway, that is all the time we have for today. Thank you so much to everyone who submitted questions, and thank you so much for listening to this show. If you're a fan, please consider rating it or leaving a review. So many of you have lately, and it means the world to me, so thank you so much. We'll be back tomorrow, catching you up on all the latest from spring training. A lot has happened, and we will provide those updates tomorrow. Once again, my name is Ben Kaspic. You can follow me on Twitter, at Ben Kaspic. That's KASPICK. I can't wait to be with you again tomorrow. So until then, we'll see you next time.